Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Daniel Day, your host. And today I am with Pastor Jeff Leek from Allison Park Church up in the Pittsburgh area. Pastor Jeff, how are you today?
Doing great. I'm so excited that February is almost over. We're getting into spring, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes, you guys have just exited the great winter blast of 2021. How did you guys fare through that week?
It wasn't too bad this year. We had some cold days and some snowy days, but ultimately it wasn't too bad.
Winter blasts are pretty normal for the Pittsburgh area every year, aren't they?
Yeah, we're in the north, so we're not Minnesota, but we definitely get cold weather.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made it through okay. As we get started today, I'd like to ask you to just open us up with a quick word of prayer, if you would.
Yeah, let's pray. So God, we just pray today that we would be able to see Jesus for who he is and our role as his followers. Give us the courage to be true followers of Christ. I pray for every person who is hearing this, that you would just ignite something in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Today's topic is simply this: cultural Christianity versus authentic Christianity. This is a very important topic for us to understand with so many high-profile Christians in the news recently who have experienced an exposure of a double life, and perhaps their platform was very big, but their character was not, and therefore their character could not support their public profile. The Bible says, beware, your sins will find you out, and whatever will be exposed is going to come to the forefront. People will find these things out. So it's very important for us as leaders to have an authentic walk with Christ. Pastor Jeff, help us get started by simply offering us your biblical definition of what it means to be an authentic Christian.
Yeah, so I think a person that's a follower of Jesus Christ authentically is somebody that is fully surrendered to him. Okay, I think a real simple definition is full surrender, that my life is his, that he's my leader, that I'm following him, his pace, his direction, his leadership in my life. I let him limit and govern my responses, my attitudes, my choices, and I'm living for his purpose ultimately. So it's really a submittedness. You know, Romans chapter 12 says, you know, Paul says, in view of these mercies that we receive, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, right? This is your spiritual service of worship, he says. So I think it's this idea, and I know this isn't all that radical, but in order to become a Christian, you have to die so you can live, right? So technically, authentic Christ followers have died to themselves, and they're choosing now to surrender their entire being to following the risen Jesus Christ in everyday life. And so I think it's really a submitted and surrenderedness that I would define that authenticity from.
Wonderful answer. When you zoom out and kind of get the bird's eye view of cultural Christianity in America, kind of the broad progressive views of Christianity, how does authentic Christianity differ from what you're seeing in our culture today?
Well, I think the pandemic that we've been through in the last 12 months, of all of the things that have been a part of the political tensions, the racial tensions, the some churches not able to meet like they normally would. It has, you said at the very beginning, some Christian leaders have been exposed, but I think we've all been exposed. So really what's happened in the last 12 months has pulled back the covers on all of us and made us ask the question, so who am I? What am I really about? And I have been stunned by so much that I have seen and heard that I didn't know before. You know, about people that are a part of my church, about other pastors and leaders, and about, you know, the tone that they strike on social media, the way that they talk, what they're, it seems like their whole world is shaped around. I think even just for the basic Christian, when we all had to sort of go online at the beginning of the pandemic, and we didn't have the regular habits and routines. So cultural Christianity, I guess you could say, is people who are used to the clothing of Christianity. So I know when to go to church. I know where to sit. I know what to sing. I know what to wear. I have all of the outwards that I have conformed to that I think fit the culture of of the church that I belong to or the stream of Christianity that I'm in. But then when really pressed, when really put under pressure, what's inside my life starts to come out.
That's right.
And I think some people had it all going on the outside. And then when put under pressure, what came out wasn't pretty. Mm-hmm. And some of us were refined during that time. Like we were challenged to go into something a little bit more purposeful and intentional. And others couldn't make the turn. The cultural nature of their Christianity became a blinder to them, and they didn't really see what was missing. So it's been messy. It's been all over the place. It's been a year of awakening in many ways because of that.
Right. When you think about all that you have personally been through, not just in the last 12 months, but in the last many years as a leader, how have you been able to protect yourself from falling into some of those traps that you just articulated?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a couple things. First, I think we have to know what our true north is. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew chapter 10, he said, I want you to go preach the kingdom of God. And then he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, what you've received, freely give. The vision of Jesus was always about the kingdom of God. So I think we have to be sort of pointed in the right direction. What are we supposed to be about? And then life has a way of provoking us and testing us. So for me personally, throughout this last year, a lot of things were taken away from me that I couldn't practice because of some of the restrictions. That then provoked my attitudes. I had to make a decision. How am I going to respond to this? What are my words going to be like? The whole political tension made me ask the question, okay, how does the kingdom of God fit into this discussion? Am I going to get swept into the tensions and the attitudes around me? Or am I going to somehow figure out how to navigate through in a Jesus mindset through this whole thing? And so I think I have to know where I'm going to follow Christ. And then when tested, I have to let those tests purify and filter where my priorities are out of whack. I'm not presenting myself as the perfectly authentic follower of Jesus Christ, but I guess what I would say is I'm hungry to be that.
Yeah.
I long for the real thing. I've seen so many things that I say, I don't think that's Christianity right there, right? But I long for the real thing. Like, I want to be a part of a genuine move of God where people are truly following Jesus Christ in the way that he demonstrated the kingdom values for us. And so I guess I've now come around to just a deeper desire for the real thing.
Mm-hmm. And you have personally been a part of either starting or helped to start more than 100 churches. I don't know what the number is now, but well over 100 churches. Do you have a number off the top of your head?
Yeah, so I like to talk about it differently than maybe what I used to. So yeah, we've set in motion over 100 churches. We have directly parented 31.
Okay.
And then many of those churches have also multiplied, which is then how we count the larger number.
And within that umbrella of 100 churches that you've helped to set in motion, there are multiple different forms of church or categories of church or methodologies of church. Could you peel back the curtain just a little bit and kind of look forward? What are some things that are on your heart? How might church starting or leading new church movements in the future, how might that look now with some of the new paradigms that are in our culture?
Yeah, so I guess these two questions are kind of linked, because for me, when we started planting churches, it was back in 1996, and we were faced with whether or not we were just going to go kind of with the mega church vision, because we were running out of space in our building and we needed to build a larger facility, or if we would do something different. And the challenge to me was Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I said, the vision of Jesus is the kingdom. For us, being kingdom-minded meant putting the needs of our city ahead of the needs of our congregation.
Wow.
So we started planting churches specifically because we wanted to not just build our kingdom, my kingdom, but we wanted to build the kingdom, right? And the promise was all these things will be added to you as well. So we actually eventually built a bigger building and have grown as an organization, but the priority was the kingdom first. Now, in the multiplication world, There's so many different ways to multiply. I'm actually just finishing a book called 12 Trends in Multiplication. And what I've been studying is churches around the country and how they are strategically sending out spiritual sons and daughters to establish new works. And there are a host of creative ideas. There is the typical multi-site model. There is the church planting network model, which is kind of what I have lived out a lot of. There's a whole lot going on with church mergers, because one of the things that's happened during the last year is that some churches that were in the death spiral have died a little faster, which means that sometimes there are buildings available for the small congregation that can combine together with a life-giving organization to help reboot it. Now there's a whole big study on the online and online campus, and is that authentic Christianity? And what's the difference between an online broadcast and a congregation that meets online? So all kinds of things are explored. There's one pastor I know in Oklahoma doing micro churches that are trying to reach pockets of people that would never typically enter a church building, but through releasing people who are typically sitting in a seat in the church, they now are trying to penetrate those areas. So the era of multiplication that we're in is explosive. There are so many innovations and creative ways to try to expand the kingdom. And my mindset is yes to all. We can debate the values between them, but anytime somebody's trying to innovate to multiply, I think it's a beautiful thing to see that happen.
It's very exciting. I was speaking with someone at the Church Multiplication Network recently, and he said, this is the most exciting time ever to be planting a church. I mean, that to me is amazing to think about.
Yeah, and I think anytime, you know, we go through an upheaval as a culture, people are more spiritually hungry. When this finally, whenever we get back into whatever we're going to get back into, whatever life looks like after this, I think there will be tremendous opportunities to do a whole lot for the kingdom, especially for those who are trying to do this well, you know?
Amen. Amen. So knowing what you know now and having done all the research, I mean, you're an author, you've written several books, you're leading a tremendous organization. You have pivoted. You've turned probably more than one corner in the last 12 months, just personally, as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, as a leader. You've turned several corners in the last 12 months. If you could go back in time, I love asking this question of leaders like you. If you could go back in time and tell your 20-year-old self something, if you could give that 20-year-old self some advice, what would you say to him?
Well, it probably wouldn't be related to this last year. It probably would just be related to my own personal experience. So I became the pastor at the church that I'm at 30 years ago this year. I was only 27 years old. It was a huge responsibility, because when my pastor went to California, I became the interim pastor of a church that was several hundred people. What I would say is, don't run from responsibility. Take it on as soon as you can. I think there is something of tremendous value that if you take on responsibility, especially in the area of your focus at an early age, when you get to be my age, where I'm now 56, I have 30 years of history now of carrying responsibility in a particular direction. We've been planting churches for 25 years. So now I'm in my mid-50s, and I still have health and energy. And so all that accumulated experience, I can now leverage for the rest of my life because I started early. So I think a lot of people who are in their 20s, they want to push responsibility down the road. They want to make sure they get it all perfect and get everything completely clear and every I dotted, every T crossed. And then eventually we're going to have kids and have a house and have get into the lane of our particular career. I would say start as soon as you can. You only have one life to live. If you can determine your direction early in your 20s, and don't run from responsibility, but take it on and accept it, you will maximize your lifespan, because you'll be able to take all the things you've built up from an early age, and you'll be able to carry that forward into your, 70s, 80s, 90s now.
So you're looking well for 56. Hallelujah. And how are you doing it? Give us a peek under the hood here. How are you staying healthy? What are you, what are some of your habits? Give us some, just give us one or two points there.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. I exercise every day. That's one thing. I'm always worried about my eating habits. I have been working on my personal devotional life rigorously for 30 some years. Okay. So trying to keep my soul healthy, having a regular date night with my wife. I'm more in love with my wife now than I ever was before. I think pouring into those priority relationships is key. Having people in your life you can be transparent with and accountable to. We started in early in the conversation about some pastors and leaders that have had a fall. I think it's really important to stay accountable. There's never a time in your life when you shouldn't have somebody who knows everything about you, because that's the only safe place to be. And then, you know, I love the idea, not everybody's called to this, but I love the idea that I've been in one church for the same, you know, for 30 years. Like, I have now dedicating the babies of people I dedicated, right? So I have journeyed with families and family units and seeing them grown up. And a lot of the people on my staff have grown up in my church. Like, we just hired a young adult pastor, and I knew him from the moment he was born. And I've watched him grow. Wow. And now he's become this amazing leader. And I have been his pastor his entire life.
That's amazing.
And so it's enjoying the great things that come with longevity in marriage with Christ as a pastor. So I think, man, I'm loving life. It couldn't be better for me at this moment. I mean, I absolutely love what I get to do every day. And feel very much slotted into God's purpose in my life.
So just recap it for us. Cultural Christianity versus authentic Christianity has a lot to do with our personal walk with God, our daily habits, our integrity, accountability, innovation, flowing with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to help us turn these corners as events arise in our culture and in our daily lives. We have to be willing to kind of flow with what God is telling us to do. Anything else you want to add to the list before we go?
Yeah, more and more I've become to recognize that Christianity is really not a philosophy, a set of principles. It's about a person.
Yeah.
And that person is alive. Jesus Christ came back from the dead. He lives today. He speaks. We can know Him. We can follow Him. He has a plan. He can lead us into things He has planned for us. Actually, the one thing that makes Christianity different from every other religion on earth is that we have someone that we follow that defeated death. They killed Him. He didn't stay dead. And if that is not true, then the rest of it is really got little value. But because Jesus is alive, we can actively follow Him, the person, and be in daily relationship with the risen Jesus. And when we know Him and we proclaim Him, there's power in that. So many people let their Christianity become a religion or a routine, not a relationship with a vibrant, living person that has opinions about your life and your future. Hmm. The more you can be in touch with Him and discern what He's saying to you, the more life becomes an adventure. So I just say, remember, it's about the person of Jesus. Christianity is about Jesus. It's really more than anything else. And we can never lose that in the mix of all the other things that are going on.
So good. Well, take us to the Lord in prayer. Close us how we began. And I'd like you to specifically pray for those watching that they would live out their faith as you've just articulated with a vibrant relationship with Christ.
Yeah, sure. So God, I pray that You'd reveal Jesus to us all in a fresh way, that we would see Him through the clutter of all the other things going on in our life, and we'd be able to discern what He's saying to us about our life right now, where He wants us to go, who He wants us to be with. I pray that those who are being launched into their future would see clearly and early what You're calling them to do, accept that assignment, and run with it. And I pray that just like I have enjoyed these 30 years of fruitfulness in ministry, that there would be decades of blessing upon the lives of these students. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Friends, we've been with Pastor Jeff Leake of Allison Park Church. Pastor Jeff, when's the book coming out?
Should be out this May. Actually, if you want to stay in touch with what we're doing, you can go to AllisonParkLeadershipNetwork.com. There's all kinds of coaching resources, books that have been written other ways. So that's AllisonParkLeadershipNetwork.com. You can find all kinds of things. Even in the future, if you're interested in church planning, we'd love to have conversations with you.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a joy.
Thank you.